Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow, it's so good to be here this morning. It just feels good. That's all I can say. Why do bad things happen? It feels good to be here. I see flesh. I think if I were to touch you, I would feel flesh. I won't touch you, though. That's a big difference from seeing someone on a screen and having a name. You almost look like a robot on the screen. It's been nice, but it's nice to see someone in the flesh. I'm just going to say that. And it's nice to be in sacred space, right? It is kind of awkward watching church on your laptop and with a big pile of laundry right next to the computer. There's something just is kind of strange about that. You know, we chuckle about this and we're here today. It really makes us feel good. But you know, over the last year, boy, we've just experienced so much. There's been some good. God's blessed many of us here with different things, and relationships have been built, maybe with families, and some good things have happened. But my goodness, a lot of bad things have happened, and a lot of loss has happened in the church. Why do bad things happen? Kind of a tough week in Philomath as well. Last Sunday, maybe you heard the news on Monday or Tuesday, but the tough news was shared that the Philomath Elementary School teacher, longtime PE teacher, C.A. Rath, and his wife, Mary, were found deceased in their home. It was just a week ago today. I didn't know C.A. personally, met on a few occasions, but only heard great stories about how he connected with youth. And I know many of you knew C.A. really well. Some of you spent years with him as a teacher in the school. And I also just sat back and listened to how people very much loved Mary as well and her connections with so many people in the community. We don't know all the details, and the reality of it is that when details come out, I know a lot of people are talking in the community about this, but when details come out, we won't have all the answers, to be honest with you. And when details are shared, actually more questions are going to pop up. But what's behind all of that really is that age-old question that I want to address here this morning. Why do bad things happen? How many of you have thought about that before? Pretty much everyone. Yeah. Now, in the time of Jesus, there was a certain person in the community that you would go to ask those questions. Today, that person is Siri and Alexa. I know you do it. You don't do that, Ruth?
No.
Oh, all right. Now, in the first century, the person that you went to was a person called the ruler of the synagogue. That person had answers to questions. And the person who was the ruler of the synagogue was a man named, do you know remember what his name was? His name was Nicodemus. That was his role. You went to Nicodemus to ask these heavy questions. Why does evil exist? Why do bad things happen? Now, why do I bring his name up? Here's why. You see, the background of John 3:16 is actually just an excerpt of a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus has some questions of Jesus. And one of the interesting parts of this, we didn't pick it up here, but if you start in chapter 3, you see this is what's happening. They're having a dialogue back and forth. One of the interesting things that happens is that Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. Why would he do that? Well, we think the reason why Nicodemus came to Jesus at night was because he didn't want the public to know that he didn't have all the answers to life's deepest questions. He had to find Jesus. My friends, let that be a reminder to each one of us that none of us are going to find the answers to life's deepest questions and why bad things happen. Bad things just simply happen. They just do. This may sound sad, but it's true. I'm just going to say it. It doesn't matter how hard each one of us tries, but we can't reverse bad things from happening or keep bad things from happening. If that was the case, the world would be perfect, wouldn't it? If we could go out and just stop all the bad things from happening, but that is not the way it works. You see, the Lutheran Church has gotten this right. Sometimes the Lutheran Church is kind of strange, but this has beautiful, the teaching of the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. The fall of man was major and has impacted the world so much that we live just in a broken place. The world is broken. And we can't fix it. Now you're wondering, Pastor, why did I come to church to hear such a downer sermon? I can't fix the world. Now I'm going to try and move us in a more positive direction. You know, here in this text, John chapter 3, Jesus admits, and throughout his ministry, he admits that bad things happen. He doesn't always give a clear answer for why they happen. At one point, he's asked in his ministry, why did the tower fall on those innocent people? You can look this up. Jesus never really gave an answer. John chapter 9, the people ask him, hey, Jesus, why was this person born blind? Was it his fault or his parents? Jesus doesn't really give a clear answer. But here's the thing. This is what Jesus does do. Jesus gives a plan. And it's right here. John chapter 3, verse 16. Bad things happen, but hold on to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. I just want to take just some time this morning to unpack those three words from that little statement. So as I put these up, hopefully you can see them, and hopefully our online audience can see them as well. The first word is what? Can you read that? God. God. Jesus' plan starts with God to fix things, not with you or me. It starts with God. And Jesus, in saying this, is basically relating throughout his teaching is that from God we can expect good things. Always. And God has given you good things. Isn't it true that you have life? It's not by accident that your lungs are breathing in air and that you have a heartbeat. God's done that for you. And you have senses. You're able to see there's signals that go up to your brain so that you can see a vision. God's given you that. And you have home and shelter and family. James chapter 1 puts it this way. Every good gift comes from above. Every good gift comes from God. With God, we can expect good things. And it's likely the reason why a lot of people don't go to church or just kind of fall into apathy is because they don't expect good things from God. If you don't expect a good meal at a restaurant, you stop going. If you don't like a school, you don't go. You don't support it. You don't expect good things. But with God, Jesus teaches, you can expect good things. But what does God do? That takes us to the second word. You know it well. Say it with me. Love. Love. God loves. This is the verb. God loves. But have you ever noticed that the world kind of messes this word up a lot? What is this love all about? In English, it can mean so many different things. Some of the things that I love are, I love chocolate chip ice cream. I love that. And I love pizza. I use the word love to talk about how I love pizza. Sometimes I love it too much. But then I use this word to talk about my feelings for my wife too. I love my wife. That same word means so many different things. We usually use the word love, and as I've studied social media, this is interesting. As I've studied social media, what social media does with this word love is it talks about it in the sense of quantity. How much? I love something so much. I'm so devoted to something. Typically, we talk about love regarding quantity, how much love I have for something. We don't usually talk about quality, the quality of love that we have for something. Typically, we use words to talk about love. This is why when you go to Bi-Mart, you stand at the cards and you can't make a decision for like 20 minutes of what card to buy. There's so many different options, and you're trying to figure out what word expresses my love. Love isn't so much an action or steps to be taken. The Bible speaks of love in the exact opposite way. Love is about quality and about action. And here in this text, you hear it. For God so loved the world. That's actually not the emphasis in this little passage. That's a subordinate clause, actually, for you grammarians. The main verb in this sentence is gave. God gave something very precious to him, his son. That is love. Not just so much, it's action. Well, that leads us to the object of God's love. And this is the one that's really shocking to me, actually, when you think about it. What is the object of God's love? Go ahead and say it. The world. Why is that shocking? Well, I'm going to explain it to you here. John's gospel says this word right here, world, more than any other book of the Bible. 50% of the times that this word appears in the Bible, it's found in John's gospel. And pretty much almost every time it's mentioned negatively, not positively. In fact, John's gospel doesn't say much about Satan or the devil. John talks a lot about the world and how the world is opposed to Jesus. Here's some examples. John chapter 15, Jesus says, the reason why the world rejected the Holy Spirit, and it did not accept the Holy Spirit because it didn't see him or know him. John chapter 1, Jesus says about himself, although he came into the world and he made the world did not recognize him. John chapter 5 says this, the world doesn't hate you, it hates me, because I testify to its evil deeds. John chapter 15, Jesus says, the world will hate you because it hates me. Over and over again, the world is very negative in John's gospel. Why would God love the world? Why would God love the world? When you pick up the newspaper, scroll through social media, why would God love that? Because that's how awesome our God is. It's just who he is. He loves broken things. And though that doesn't forgive the consequences of someone's action, what it does mean is it means God loves the addict, the person who makes poor choices, the person who made one bad choice. And the greatest news is this: God loves you. You're not perfect. You're part of the broken world. And God loves you. When Nicodemus left Jesus, I don't know if Nicodemus left thinking, oh, I got the answers to all of life's deepest questions. Now I can go share them with the rest of the community. I don't think that happened. But I think what happened with Nicodemus was this. He knew there was a plan to fix things, to turn the things that were broken to being fixed, those things that were hurting to healing, those things that were wrong to those things that were right. You know how awesome it is to live and just know that there's a plan to fix things? That's what we have here in the Bible. Not an explanation for why bad things happen, but a beautiful plan to fix things just right. You know, my friends, we're all living kind of on borrowed time, each one of us. Did you think about that over the last year? Borrowed time. Wouldn't it be nice if you got a mulligan for this last year? Like, you could talk to God and say, hey, don't count that year. That shouldn't count. Unfortunately, that's not the way it works. Over the pandemic, I took part in a quiz online to figure out how long my life expectancy should be. It asked me all sorts of questions. The questions like, how tall are you? What is your weight? How many times do you exercise each week? These sorts of things. And after about 5 minutes, it spits out an answer. Guess what I found out? I've got until 2071. That's what it said. That's decent. I felt good about it. Then I did the math. That means I've got 370 million breaths left. I probably used about 4,000 this morning already. Then I did more calculations. That means I've got about 400,000 strokes on the golf course. But you should know I play golf so little, like 15 times. That's how many strokes it takes just to play one round of golf for me. The point is this. Our time is short. And with the time that we have, we could think that there's just a bunch of bad things that are going to happen. And then ultimately, I die. But that's not the way Christians live. In this text, we know that there's a clear plan. God's plan. To love the world. To fix it. To bring healing. To right all wrongs. As Nicodemus left Jesus, I don't think he got all the answers. But here's the thing. Nicodemus got enough of Jesus, my friends, that he stayed with him to the end. He was there when Jesus died. He took his body. That was Nicodemus. My friends, so also with us today. We don't have all the answers for everything that's happened, but let us stick by Jesus. He's got the full and beautiful plan for us. Amen.